hook arms with the right people for you. And don't be afraid to say no either to the wrong fit client, because that will diminish your authority if you're not standing in your value.
Hey, this episode is sponsored by my very own Digital Marketers Workgroup. Get your applications in our exclusive membership that gives you training, support, and the job opportunities you need to build experience and command premium rates as a service provider. Now, here's the thing. You need to be solid in your services. You need to have a pricing guide, a website, a portfolio, something that sells your services, and you need to be confident that you could get the client, because this is not a course. This is a community. Every month we have advanced trainings. We help each other with feedback, support. We help you with troubleshooting, but we're really there to encourage and refer each other. The link to apply is in the show notes, and I will see you inside.
Hey there, I'm Emily Reagan, and you found The Marketing Freelancer. This is the podcast for marketing freelancers and service providers who are already making an impact behind the scenes and want to take their skills, income, and business to the next level. Here, we're all about embracing the unicorn title, a full-stack marketer who can do it all, strategy, implementation, creativity, and everything in between. We're the magic makers who know how to deliver real results for clients and are ready to rise as sought-after marketing specialists. We're building a business we're proud of, working with dream clients with impact, and charging rates that reflect our work's worth. Unicorns unite. Hey, welcome back to the show. We're dedicated to helping you make money in 2026 with your service provider business. And I'm your host, Emily Reagan, a fellow freelancer. I have created a program to teach marketing skills and services and help you set up your business. I have a community where we nerd out on marketing and we support each other. We refer each other. We network. We give each other opportunities. And I have this podcast. It's helping you up-level your services and just stay relevant with what's happening in the market and what you need to know. And yeah, this podcast is dedicated to those of us who are behind the scenes doing the work, but it also always applies to how we're marketing and showing up for ourselves. So I have a guest today. This can be very interesting because we're combining a unique lens I've never done on the show, and that is astrology. I've had human design. We've done some Clifton strengths. We've done some other personality tests and created self-awareness through that. But astrology is something new. And today I have my friend, Sherry Moise. She is an intuitive business astrologer and strategist. So she helps entrepreneurs plan, launch, and lead using timing and data. So she has 25 years in corporate marketing and sales. So she knows marketing really well. What she brings is this astrology lens to how we plan, how we look at market cycles, buyer awareness and decision-making, audience readiness, all of that. And she helps you plan your marketing campaigns. And so this is the appropriate time of year to talk about what's changing in 2026 when it comes to astrological cycles and some of the buyer behaviors we're seeing. And we always hear that phrase, and I say it all the time, the trust recession. But what is that really? And so Sherry's going to break that down today. She has a freebie for us that I want you to go grab, and it's about you and your self-discovery and understanding your success planet. So go grab that in the show notes below. And then let's get into how buyers are shifting in 2026, how to plan our launches and support our clients accordingly, because it's not the same anymore. And we're going to talk about it, when to pitch, how to build your authority, why we need to bring this extra level of personalization and customization into our marketing. And I really think you're going to leave this episode understanding the value of what you bring to the table. Sherry talks about be the guide by their side. And that's really what 2026 is going to be about. So make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss another podcast. And if you are in a place where you are doing this client work and your business is set up, we need you in the work group, because these conversations and discussions are happening every month in our networking calls. We're doing advanced training to help you up-level and build your authority. We have Stacey Brass Russell coming in to lead a workshop about creating our own signature methods, all things that just help us sell and step into this role and this true marketer role that Sherry and I are talking about today. All right, let's jump into the episode. Sherry, welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to kick off 2026 with this conversation. I've been following your YouTube content. We're friends in real life, and you're really hitting it when you talk about what is happening in 2026 with marketing. So tell everyone hello, a little bit about you. And I want you to also tell us what you did before online business, because so many of us come with past experience and you come with a lot.
Oh, yes. Thank you. And thank you for bringing me on the show, Emily. I so love when I get to connect with people in real life who I love so much, and then when I get to support each other's audiences. So good. So good. So I am a intuitive business astrologer, sales and marketing strategist, so which might sound like a really strange combination of things, but I think I bring this kind of triad of gifts to my work in the world, which is with typically seasoned entrepreneurs who really understand that there's some more data out there that they could be leveraging in their business and their marketing. And I really focus, I'm not your like one-off astrologer reader, like you just want to know what's in your chart. I'm going to help you map your business for growth, for sustainability, so that you can shine and so that your marketing too is spot on. So that's really my focus as a business astrologer. And I'll bring you my, what do I see? What do I feel into that picture? Plus background, 25 years in corporate sales and marketing, you know, along with all that that comes from that. And really some of my leanings, I guess, the way I've been using and leveraging astrology in my own business and now with clients is what I saw back then was, you know, we were getting market trends, but they were yesterday's scan data and we were paying tens of thousands of dollars for information. They were guessing. Whereas astrology, because it's built on cycles, we don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but we have cycles that give us a really beautiful view of what's possible, of what's coming at us. So I thought, this is way smarter. And I spent a lot of time in online sales and having to learn to, back when Amazon had one building, not 15, I was one of the first housewares vendors in Amazon, you name them, I called on them, and learning to get someone's attention, to have the right information, the right copy to really identify that customer. I've brought all that with me into this world, but I'm so grateful to be gone from it. I never loved it. Like, I happened to be good at it and it provided well, but I left as soon as it was possible for us as a family. That made sense.
Have you always done astrology, or like what part did that creep into your sales and marketing?
So I've always been curious. I think the first book I had, I was probably in my teens, and I had like the big birthday book of astrology. And then, did you have that?
Yes.
I have it somewhere. And then I had the relationships book. I'm always a seeker of answers. I love to learn. And I really was using it for myself, kind of dipping my toe in the water. And I have a really good friend who's an astrologer. And when I was looking at leaving corporate and doing things, she and I started doing some work together. And so I used astrology as my lens to come into entrepreneurship. Like, what were my strengths? What was my chart calling for and things like that? And then one of the biggest ahas for me when I started in entrepreneurship, which was not a smooth transition, I left corporate and was diagnosed with breast cancer 5 weeks later. And so, yeah, and I'm fine now. I'm good. But it was, I learned, like, I was just looking for the way through. You know this. I know you and I have talked about this, right? Like, I just want to do the thing, make the money, help people. And so I was forcing a lot of things and I was not tuned in. And I was trying everybody else's formulas, everybody else's way of doing things. And that's really where I started to lean into the astrology and working with the mentor I have now. And I'd be working with a client and I'd be like, this is going on. So I'd look at their chart. And it always made sense, like the little that I knew. And so eventually I was like, this is really helping people gain confidence and clarity. It was giving me confidence and clarity, what to market when, where my own planning cycles were. And so almost three years ago now, I took the leap and just said, this, put my flag in the sand. I started my certification as a business astrologer, and I really have brought it full force into my work.
That's such a relatable journey for anyone listening or anyone who starts a business. We kind of go through the like, oh, this is what my mentor or everyone else does. And then we evolve out of that. You know, I think even in 2026, what we're seeing is a lot of like realignment with people. I see what Amy Porterfield shutting down her course and Jenna Kutcher closing the podcast. And even like Kevin Rogers just shut down Copy Chief. And there's just been some big things. But we all kind of have to go there and get there. And I've done my own evolution, and what I started with, it does not look the same. It's not like wildly different, but there's just been this, I don't know, I'm going to say evolution. I think that's so interesting for all of us as we choose our specialty that's happening in our own service provider business too.
Absolutely. I think that's what you say yes to needs to be so resonant. And we're seeing that in 2026. Like what people say yes to really has to be right for them. And yeah, I was talking with a mutual friend of ours about the whole Amy Porterfield, you know, Jamie Kutcher thing. And I was like, it makes sense. Good for them. Like they're ahead of the curve on some things. Like we can talk about this, like courses and the change that I see coming from an astrological perspective and why. That's a big market-wide thing. But also, I would love to look at both of their charts. Like, you know, because we each have an evolution, right? And we aren't meant to be static. And it's hard for people to go, oh, you're walking away from the money. But what if they're walking into something more powerful and that invitation they're listening to? And the market wants something different right now. Are they the ones that need to bring it? I don't know.
Well, and that, I think that's the message we all need, because I think that one of the number one pain points of my people is choosing their niche, is specializing, is going all in with something and saying no to that work that's no longer serving them or they don't love. And like, that's so, it's so scary on all different levels, but that's what we do as humans.
Oh, I know. I could very easily be an hourly astrologer. People would pay me $100 an hour all day long to read their chart, but that doesn't bring the best of who I am. Like what I am is a strategist. Like what I am is I can see and find the right things in the chart, in the collective charts and in the personal charts. And if I just did what's your sun sign readings, I'm not serving myself and I'm not serving my audience. So like know thyself, like what is that piece for you that you really do lean into? That's where the success flows through.
What's your sun reading is the equivalent of us just posting to social media.
Yes. Yes.
We're like, thank no.
You. That's a really great, you know, it's like, I can get into like astrology. I think just, you know, disclaimer, there's a lot out there and it's growing bigger and it's going to grow bigger, which is great because I think it's really important. It's just another tool to understand ourselves. But unlike human design and some other personality tools, which astrology has both, and we really do have the ability to predict, so to speak. So just take things with a grain of salt. Also know that some of the things that you read in certain really apps have to be done in a way that reaches as many people as possible, but may not be accurate for you. So trust yourself when you listen to things and read things. And people are predicting, just there's a lot of clickbait in this realm. And I want to change that. I really want people to understand that there's a really phenomenal, powerful data that astrology can bring. And to you as a person, as an entrepreneur, and then collectively also for your business to know what's going on in the market with your potential clients.
Yes, you are my first business astrologer on the podcast, and I'm so excited. And just to put it in layman's terms, Sherry plans some pretty big, important people's launches. She sits down and maps out promotions, the outreach, the market timing. And so that's really like the sweet spot of crossing over. We're all trying to do this with our clients, like get ahead of it, but also making it aligned with them and their cycle and what's going on in their business. And I know for years, I just like repeat, because that's what I was told, or everyone's launching here, so I'll launch over there. But I don't think I've ever fully stepped into that. I'm just going to call myself out. I don't think I've ever fully stepped into that. And because my last launch was not the income generator that I expected, like I am now forced to look at that and like think about 2026 in a new way. But then we have all these other market changes. And so it's so fascinating. And it's also, to me, it's fun. I'm a maximizer. I like to do things a little different. Like repeating actually isn't that fun for me. So can we talk about some of what you're seeing in 2026 with the signals and what's happening with buyers?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing that's happening with buyers, I'm going to take it from like what's out in the marketplace that everybody's talking about.
Okay.
This trust recession, right? You know, there was a period back in December, like I swear every email I opened was like, we're in a trust recession. So I'm going to flip this on its head because I have a real problem with that language. And I think that that says that like your customer, your client isn't smart. They're not discerning. Like you have to build trust with them. What I know is happening and how I've flipped it on its head is we're in what I'm calling like a wisdom evolution, where we have wiser buyers. We have more discerning buyers. We have people get the fact that, you know, spend today doesn't mean results immediately tomorrow. They can see through the screens that have been put up. They're not fooled anymore. So they're thinking for themselves. Hallelujah, right? Like, I want people to be discerning, like to understand. So, but it does mean, and I was talking about this, you were in that presentation, we're in a group together, and before this started, this is the key of astrology, 18-month cycles. So I said, we're moving from know, like, trust to trust-first marketing, which means people need to know who you are, what you're about. You need to fake it till you make it. People want to know that they can trust you. But it's an inside job as much as it is your job to help them trust you. Like, they're going to use their own inner wisdom. That's why I say it's a wisdom evolution. I mean, think about something that you purchased recently or you were thinking about, Emily. Like, was it all about what was on the sales page, or were you really tuned in? Like, do I feel this? Do I want this? Like, am I leaning in, or am I like, I'm not sure? And so you don't hit buy yet because you internally, the page helps you get clear on what the offer is, but it's that page isn't going to sell you. You're going to sell yourself.
Yeah, no, I see that with a lot of my decisions. And honestly, Sherry, I'm not even a huge sales page reader. I'm not that type of personality that goes through all the details, but there is that like internal measurement happening.
Yeah. So I think for your folks, like, what does that mean practically? Like when you're taking that out into the world, it's about building authority. So as I talked about the difference of me as an astrologer versus a business astrologer and business strategist, see how I am building authority just by how I talk about myself, you know, and I know you talk with your folks about that all the time, Emily, about not just calling yourself a VA, because all of you are well-trained. You bring something different to the market. So how can you bring that into the conversations? How can you let people know how you stand out? I used to be afraid to talk about or not want, I wanted corporate like in the rear view mirror as far as possible. But you know what? The fact that I spent 2 decades in sales and marketing means that I have a sensibility about the process and I understand consumer behavior in addition. So to not talk about it was a disservice to my potential clients. What aren't you sharing about how you're trained, about your background, so that people can see the difference between hiring somebody in the Philippines, which is fine, right, for certain things. But when I need someone that is a strategist to build out something for me, I want a unicorn.
Yeah. And I think you've done a good job. You're a prime example of that differentiation factor. And you already stand out from all of the other astrologers or business astrologers because you have that background. And like every single person has that. They don't always like own it or tap into it. But I think about some of the jobs that we got. Like, I'm working with a client right now who does a betrayal healing conference. And so the person she wanted on her team to support her in for a project was someone who was trauma informed and had a background in this like therapy space. And so that's like all these, and we get a lot of like jobs for like therapists and wellness. And that's your opportunity to like carve out your unique cross section and stand out.
Yeah. These 18-month cycles that I was talking about, you know, they build upon each other. So the one prior to this was like that, I'll call it like the quick fix era, where we really like, if you didn't nail the CTA, you just lost people. People were, they needed a Band-Aid. They were like, give me the quick fix.
Yeah.
And then they realized that that doesn't work. That only works so far. But there, so that's where discernment comes in. They can pop on a page and go, that's for me, not for me. But now they're not looking for just the Band-Aid. They want a solution that is more lasting. And we're in a cycle, first 9 months of 2026, where people's buying decisions, we go through these buying cycles, 9 month buying cycles, where people, it's a little bit slower. I'm going to reach into my wallet for the right thing. Not that okay. I'm not buying. Okay. So it all kind of goes hand in hand. People are going to blame the trust recession on slower buyers, but it's all woven in. People have money to spend. You know, what am I going to spend it on? And what do I have to give up in order to, if I do this, if I hire Emily to refresh my website and build my backend funnel, then what can I not do? So what is your job then as a freelancer is to tell them what they can do. What time is getting bought back, right? More of like, if you do this with me, that means you can go out, you know, I'm going to take these number of hours off your plate. I'm going to get this to market for you faster so that you can go make more money. This has an ROI. So see how we've got to be. So this is where you're a problem solver. You're a strategist. You're a partner with your clients. And that's key. And I see you all like in the same role. That's my role. Like,
yeah. I like that you put that back to time-based because sometimes we get so focused on like, you're going to make more money and more leads because that's what marketing does. But it's so funny. I just wrote an email right before this podcast where I changed, I'm going to try to explain this, to one of the goals, one of the outcomes was conquering marketing initiatives or projects. Like I made it more about like, that's what you're really doing. It's not always like, oh, it's tied into more money. But you think about Q1 and where our clients are, like that's really what we're focused on, our big goals. So if your work can help them do that, and it's beyond a punch list, I'm talking about big initiatives here, like big goals in their business. Like for me, I'm rebranding Marketers Work Group and hiring a unicorn and like doing all the work to position myself for success later in 2026. So I think that's an interesting little thing to hit on is actually going back to some time-based and momentum gained.
Right. What would it take? You know, I'm working on a project right now that I'm really super excited about. And I'm having to look at like, at what point I know I need support to nail this project down, to get all the parts and pieces. And, you know, at what point am I bringing people in? At what point does it make sense? How much am I investing in this project? You know, where is it going to accelerate it? You know, where's my ready point for acceleration? Like what needs to happen? And so I'm being more strategic. And I think that is that wiser buyer, right?
Yeah.
We're being more strategic. I'm like, well, it would be great to have somebody check all my copy in my beta phase, but is that the right use of my money?
Right.
Like, can I just get my early adopters to do the thing? Right. And so what if somebody came to you and said, you know, like if I come to you and say, I have this big project, I want you to be honest. Say, you know what? The best use of me, it's going to be when you get to here, because then I'm going to be able to amplify this project fast for you. Right.
Yeah.
And get you to the money-making phase. What if you had two out of 10 conversations, you were really honest with people, your reputation is going to spread to say, like, this isn't my zone of genius, or my zone of genius is going to work best for you when? That's how you build authority. That's how you build trust. And that's what this market is asking for sure, in this first half or 9 months of the year. And that won't go away. That's not going to go away.
Well, I love that because you're setting yourself up for projects too, and like higher ticket projects, actually moving the needle. I just had a copywriter say this to me, Sherry. I need help redoing my long form, very long form sales pages. And she said, the best use of my time would be to actually build the entire funnel, not just because the copy is fine And so I was like, wow, I really admire that. And also, I don't want to waste my time too. But I know one of the struggles in my business is I feel like we get so caught in the weeds of like the piddly reoccurring stuff that it's like never getting to the bigger projects and the things that actually move the needle. So let's come in during the discovery call and start with that instead of like the repeatable things.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, this is where what I'm seeing that next 18-month marketing cycle is coming in August.
Okay.
And a couple of big themes. So we need to be prepared for that. We'll start seeing it more and more as we get to, it always starts to trickle in because it's a slow moving transit. So June, July, but it lands hard in August. And one of the things that's collapsing, and so back to a bit of our conversation, Amy Porterfield, Jenna Kutcher, the guru culture is collapsing. People want a guide by your side. They don't want somebody who's above them. And not that, and for those folks, that was how the market was. So part of me wonders if, in advance of that, there's a sense there of like, there's a market shift happening. So what does that mean for you, for your audience, I want somebody as a guide by my side? So for you being each of you as part of someone's support team, how do you help them ensure that their clients feel that, right? That could be anywhere along the continuum of the sales process, from invitation to referral, right? All the way through, how are we building, maintaining that trust, authority, but also where people feel they have some sort of access, where they're seen. I think that's the thing that goes away. People don't want someone teaching at them. They want to know, you've been in my shoes. You've been through the thing with me and you're there by my side. You're accessible to me. So I think courses are going to change. So another conversation because of that. We're moving into an era of community is going to be really important. So how do you support people with communities? It's going to be a different look. Technology, of course. We could not talk about AI, but it's not even just AI. I think we're going to see changes in platforms and what's used and how do you, it's got to be human first. With all of this technology, people want to be connected. So as a service provider, how do you maintain that connection with your client? How do you help them build that connection? Are you bringing that lens to your projects? Like that's going to help set you apart when you can say, hey, I know these three things are going to be important in the back half of 26 and I'm looking at your project. And what if we layered in XYZ? Like, could you bring to every conversation, discovery call or pitch that you put out there, offer something that they weren't expecting that lets you be seen as an expert?
Oh, I love that because I have always seen this gap, Sherry, where there was business coaches who teach the what or the why, and then there was never any help with the how. And that's why my business blew up. I was always booked out. That's why I created my entire work group and course to get people to do the how. And there was a hole. And I see that shifting a little bit on like who's doing the how, because I don't think people want to even learn that from the coach anymore. I mean, come on, Jenna Kutcher doesn't do her own flipping Pinterest. She doesn't do Pinterest. She has someone on her team.
And that's what people know. So if she chooses to reinvent herself, she may not need to. She may be like, I'm moving on to a different phase of my life and good for her, right?
Yeah,
I love that she earned it. She did it. And that was, we see this happen. Right? These are cycles. This is why the astrology is so powerful. It's cycles. And when we track them, we can see that going away. Technology is great and it helps us be sometimes faster, maybe sometimes smarter. I don't know. But I want to be with humans, right? So are we, doing live work group sessions? I mean, I'm seeing people who are, I love watching, my friends. We have a friend in common who I was like, she's shifting how she's running her signature course next year and she's going to show up live. I go, girl, you are ahead of the curve. That's what's needed. That's what people want. But as a part of someone's marketing team, how do you bring that added value when you know and understand what's going on in the marketplace and where the trends are, then you can weave that in. And so, and I'm excited. I'm launching. I've always given my own private clients a weekly forecast, but with this new Success Planet project that I'm running, I'm starting a monthly forecast called Success Scopes. And it will give you a big picture overview of the market for the next month. So like February's, we're recording this January 15th, February's is coming out today or tomorrow. So you'll have it in advance, but it also, so it gives collective. And then if you know your Success Planet, which is a whole nother story, it will give you personally insight as to what's going on for you. So this is where I like to bring in both, because we can look at what's going on out in the world, but how is Emily meant to plan? What is Emily's motivation right now? What's driving her to do things? One of the, like, throw my line in the, you know, staff in the sand thing is about the lie we've been fed about, you know, how we're meant to work. And the Industrial Revolution was a beautiful gift, you know, and it was a curse in terms of this made up 40-hour work week. And the more hours you put in, the more money you make. No one is meant to work like this. And so how do you honor your own natural cycles and rhythms and really work with them? You got to rest as hard as you work. You got to, you know, all those pieces have to come into play. I'm no good to you. You're no good to me if you're exhausted and overwhelmed. And so I say what I give people is clarity and confidence, clarity of like, hey, here's your own personal way you ebb and flow and work. And here's what's coming at you this year, personally. Here's what's coming at you collectively. Now we've got the confidence to go out and do the thing.
Hey there. I want to take a quick moment to tell you about our Digital Marketers Work Group. This isn't just another membership. It's a thriving community of marketing freelancers and service providers who are serious about up-leveling our businesses. Inside, we're sharing referrals, passing along job opportunities, and connecting with clients who value and trust our expertise. You'll find exclusive trainings, templates, and the support you need to confidently manage projects, position yourself as the go-to expert, and command the rates your work deserves. If you've been looking for a way to grow your business and land premium clients without doing it alone, this is the place for you. Head over to marketersworkgroup.com and join us today. We're accepting applications now. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, and have no burnout in the process and actually sales in the process.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big thing. Like, I came out of corporate, like most people, completely burned out. And then, you know, had a health issue that first year where I wasn't thinking clearly, made a lot of investments in things that I should never have invested in and no one should have ever signed me up for. And burnout it's avoidable if we're doing the things and taking care of ourselves. But there's no one way to do that either. Like, you know, I happen to know Emily's Success Planet is the same as mine, is Mars. And so we run on the same cycles, but we have a different lens to it. So, but I can call Emily and be like, okay, hey, Mars is retrograde, time to chill. Like, let's, you know. But we all have our own ebbs and flows. So what are yours? How do you show up best? Honor that. Don't say, oh, I'm working for Sherry and, you know, she's up at 7 in the morning and works from 7 to noon, so I better match her schedule. Well, unless you and I have agreed on that, but maybe you shouldn't agree on that. If you work best from 3 to 8, you know, let's you do you and be clear with your clients about how you can best support them.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the worst things you can do as a service provider. I've talked about it here, but when you don't turn in your best work and you just created that seed of doubt in the client, that's our freelancer trust recession, is you've turned in something bad because you forced it or rushed it or didn't acknowledge your own patterns and cycles when you work best. And that can like kill your business. And I've seen it. I've done it. I think we've all been guilty, right?
Sure. Sure. Yeah, we're like, oh, I just want to get this thing off my to-do list. I mean, we're trained. Like, I used to have, that was my favorite thing to do when I was first in sales. I'd have my little composition notebook and I'd write everything down that I had to do, little circles. And then I loved crossing them off. But I wasn't focused on the bigger picture.
Yeah.
I wasn't focused on how I was growing the business. I was focused on the tasks. And so we've got to have a balance of both. We've got to be right. Like,
yeah,
what is the doing and what is the, where's the growth coming from? And so that's been a big lesson for me. And the astrology has really helped with that of like, slow down. We're all in different seasons, right? Every business is in a different season. You can think about it like literally businesses have spring, summer, fall, winter. And then even as we grow, like you could say that, you know, maybe Amy Porterfield was in her winter season and now she's going to winter and decide what's next. Great. Yeah. That's as it should be. So we all just need to honor that. That's going to move the meter faster. And with how quickly certain things are moving and how buyers are being more discerning, needing that trust and authority, and things are going to come at us quickly. The through line, I think, is the humanness, which mm-hmm. is what AI can never replace. You know, if I can get on a call with you and talk it through, there's so much value in that, right? If I have someone to banter with, if I have someone who sees me, then we can leverage the technology to move it. But I don't think you can ever replace that, ever.
No. Okay, tell me, how do we figure out our success planet?
Well, I will actually give you and your folks a code for a discount off the reports that are going to start launching. It should be out by that time. But yeah, so you order the diagnostic and then that will give you your success planet. It'll tell you how you're wired. It'll tell you sometimes you have one, sometimes you have a team, which is really fun to see. And I love seeing how those get done. So I will give you the link and a code to get a discount off of that report. And then on the back end of that, you know, I think one of the most valuable tools I can bring to your folks is that success scopes, because it will give you not only for your own marketing, but tuned in, tapped in as you're working on other people's marketing as well. And it's only going to be $27 a month. So a great investment.
I would love to see, and thank you for sharing. I would love to see if service providers tend to be a different success planet. I'm kind of curious.
Yeah.
I know you tend to help our clients do their launch planning and their marketing planning, but it would be fun for the person behind the scenes who's always kind of like a meta yeah. person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of my, like, what I'm excited about this body of work I'm building here is doing that research. Like, what are people's roles and are there different through lines, you know, based on, you know, my teacher type folks or whatever, you know? So it's fascinating, which is why I love the astrology. There's always another layer, always something to learn. I'm working on my master's this year just to really elevate my own chart reading. Like,
wow.
It's a never ending rabbit hole, but in my chart, it is on my career line. Astrology is an Aquarius. And so it's become that thing that I love, but I'm owning my strategist version of it. So like, what can you own? Like, you do such a good job, Emily, of owning your lane and like not veering off of it, right? Just right. Continuing to polish it and find.
Is that my Mars in Capricorn?
Yes.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about like launching in 2026 and like mistakes with launching really quick. But first, yeah. Can you paint a picture of what this looks like to sit down? Like if we have a client who might need your help, like planning their launches and like what WTF is happening in 2026, like you might be the perfect solution for that. But like, what does that look like? Walk us through that real quick.
So what I look at is I want to find the right dates, the right windows. Again, I'm looking at both. Like, I'm not going to ignore Emily's own energy and what's going on in Emily's chart, but I really want to find the sweet spot for that, because each offer has, I say, you know, three or four key windows through the year, usually that are the better windows for that offer because of what it is. What I find is people will try to sell Christmas in July. Right? That just like you said earlier, everybody's launching in the fall, so I'm going to launch when your offer doesn't meet where people's attention is focused. Mm. So the first thing I'm doing is looking for the right window. And then within those windows, what are the best dates where the consumer behavior, the customer is going to be paying attention, motivated, desiring? And so we find those dates And then we build a marketing plan on top of it. I literally give my folks, you know, from pre-launch to post, astrological guidance to know how to approach the market in that window. So I've had a client who her launch spanned a couple different things that week. She had two different webinars. And on the first one, she didn't really use the astrology. It was like a Wednesday. And she normally converts really well. Like she's run this many, many times. So we talked in between. I knew she wasn't happy with her results. They weren't bad. But so then her next one webinar on Saturday, I was like, talk about these three things. She converted at 50% on that call.
Oh my God.
She was like, what was different? She was like, first of all, I didn't give an F because she was just like over it. It's the end of her launch. She's just done.
We can all relate. Like, yes.
I leaned into the astrology. Like she had a guidebook, right? So what does it give you? Clarity and confidence. So I can do one of two things. I don't do a ton of one-off sessions, but a couple of them that I do is like one for like just staging that launch. So I don't give you the full timeline, but we at least get the window. And then if we work together, if I work with someone in a bigger way, I'm there to hold hand through the whole thing, all the dates, zhuzhing the copy. Your message is your message. Your offer is your offer. I'm there to help you polish it in a way that's going to make it stand out at the right time to the right people.
Yeah. And you're like picking what to highlight, right? For that type of
exactly.
Buyer where they are. I remember you and I having a conversation because my fall launch didn't do great. We were like, oh, let's go back and look at the dates. But you had said something to me when I was planning. I'm going to call myself out here. And you're like, don't do a webinar on that date. And I think I did. But I feel like I struggle, Sherry, because there's like the reality of my schedule and my mom.
Right.
Life, and I can't always make it work. But I was like, dang it, I should have listened to Sherry.
And so it's okay. Like, so we take that into account because people will tell me like, I have to launch in this window because financially I just need that income flow. And I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to do that, like if you're going to launch during a Mercury retrograde, which is one of the things like a lot of people know about Mercury retrogrades, but there's some are more sticky than others. And I'll tell people like, you know, but if you're going to launch during that window, then let's shore it up with these things. Let's make sure that we're over communicating X or that we're letting the cart be open a little longer. So this is where the strategy comes in, right? We take the astrological data and then we apply strategy to it.
Yeah, you're doing what we do in marketing. It's the right message at the right time to the right person. You just have a different lens for that. So it's so interesting to me that this can be layered.
So that's your meta, right?
Yeah.
That's that meta version of right offer, right time, right message. Now we're taking it and going, okay, well, if we're selling it in May, what does that look like? If we're selling it in August, it looks totally different. But yet we use the same through line. And what happens? It just doesn't convert the same way, even though we're like, well, we have this amazing webinar or whatever, but it's how you're talking to your audience at that time. And it's sometimes it's just a little bit of a finesse that makes all the difference.
It's interesting because 2026, which I'm still getting the year wrong sometimes when I speak, it's starting off. I'm talking to some people and it's starting off slow. I'm running ads for one of my clients right now and we're getting like very low conversions. It's like half as what it used to be. And it's really a rinse and repeat thing. And I mean, I know you can, we'll always kind of, we might be attracting different types of people on top of that. Mm-hmm. There's always that variable too. But what do you see? Like when you look into 2026, like, does that fit with what you're seeing? Or I don't know. I have so many questions.
I mean, it's, you know, if your cold audience is going to take longer to convert. So that's just the truth. They're needing to gain trust. So even if we have a solid offer that we know sells, how are we building authority around it? How are we connecting with people around it? In January, you know, I was really frustrated with the narrative. You know, that, oh, this is a 1 year and we're, you know, it's all going to be great. Well, January's been a shit show, right? Like collectively. And so,
I started it off sick. I've been sick since Christmas. So I'm like, I haven't even started on my New Year's resolution. I'm like,
by the way, let me give you all permission. Like astrologically, the New Year starts in the spring.
Yes,
you can use a Chinese New Year. You can use whatever, but like don't feel pressure. I do think, you know, it is what I was talking about before, that more discerning buyer is going to watch clicks. So I think retargeting really a big deal for Facebook ads. So how do we, so now how do we make that practical and tactical? If I'm telling you people take longer, potentially, you're still always going to have your early adopters. You're still always going to have the people who are going to push the button because that's how they're wired. They're like, I just know, go, right? But the majority of people need a little something different. So if they're watching and then they're sitting back and going, oh, that would be great to have. And, but then I got to give up this or that. So how can we help them get over that and know why? So I think retargeting, things like that. And it's just we're in winter. It's January. Like, this is where I have PTSD from corporate, like new year, new you. Because it was a made up thing to move inventory, right? It was not. And to take advantage of the New Year's resolutions. I'm old enough to have been there when all that launched back in the day. But it's this false narrative again. That's not how we're feeling. Like, we're tired. Like, there's, you know, if you're in the Western Hemisphere, there's not a lot of light right now. Like, we're meant to be more internal right now. So what's the right offer for January? Is your client's offer the right offer for January? Maybe it's more of a March offer. Maybe what you do now is build audience and then you sell, right? Like, how can we, which means, okay, that's a different kind of investment, but, you know, work your magic, Emily, right? Like, how can we leverage, like, building that audience and building trust and authority and then going back?
This could be like a whole fun conversation, like a marketing conversation, because she has a book and I've already adjusted the thank you page and the, you know, the tripwire on that. I was like, well, this is the wrong thing, but I was kind of doing that naturally. So I find that interesting. What do you see with launching in 2026? So, because I feel like even me and my business and a lot of my friends are talking about this too. Those of us who are doing more of a scalable model, going back to weekly or monthly webinars and really stop putting emphasis on the big live launching, like, how does that fit into the cycles? Because, like, we can't just, like, change it every month either. But how does that work?
Well, again, how do people get an experience of you? Here's the thing, like, that's what you're really talking about. And what I love what you said is that everybody is already kind of feeling that shift, right? They're experiencing it for themselves. So trust that. Like, I don't know what, there is going to be a new formula. I don't know. We don't know what it is yet.
No.
What we know is people want an experience. They want to experience you. So maybe that does look like, depending on your personality and how you're wired. I had a client call the other day and she's like, I keep being told I should do X, Y. I should do train others, you know, whatever her industry was. And I looked at her chart. I was like, no, you shouldn't. Like, no, you shouldn't. And she has a business that works. Like, it's based on referrals and it's based on, like, so why are you going to blow it up? Because somebody told you you should. So,
oh, God, that sounds
good. Don't shoot yourself.
Yeah, don't shoot on yourself.
You hear? Don't shoot on yourself. So, I think we have to take an open-minded approach to launching. And I think we have to test and try things. How do you give people a taste of who you are and prove to them that you're going to keep showing up? So, like, as I'm building the Success Planet project, I'm going to put a lot more personal touch at the beginning. And in an ideal world, yeah, I'd love to send a bonjour with every single one. I hope that they blow up in a way that, you know, that becomes almost impossible for me to do, right? But how do I give people an experience of what that's like, you know, of what it's like to work with me outside of that thing that they downloaded?
Because especially because the guru culture is like dead.
Yeah,
like,
because so if you think it has to be experiential, it has to be the guide by my side. It has to be me being human, like, because what AI has gifted us is less trust. Because is it real? Is it true? So I think you have to take a step back and say, what are you really like? You're a great speaker, Emily. You're a great teacher. So how can you have people in rooms and experience what it might look like to, you know, make an offer to somebody for a project, right? And take it from a different lens. Like, there's a lot of ways you could slice and dice what you do and bring it. I think you got to find your way. Like, I'm going to do probably quarterly forecasts once I get behind this so that people can come and get an idea of what that forecast is. But I want people are going to pay me for it. Like, I'm not giving everything away for free anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful that that will come to pass, because otherwise all we're doing is getting a lot of information and putting it in a folder instead of actually taking action on it. So if I put a little cash behind it, am I going to actually use it?
That's what I've been kind of thinking about too, just to make this all about me, but I've been thinking about like more like whiteboarding sessions and like being able to demonstrate this ability to think on your feet and customize packages and proposals for certain service providers. And that pricing and packaging workshop is always done well, but I'm like finding the resistance. I'm like, I am not doing this for free. There, I have so much content out there and there's so many people who will not move forward. Like, kind of like a lot of like waiting energy, I think, where people who are like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to do this, and I don't want to convince them.
And that's the waiting energy, right? I was talking about, like, so, and I feel the same way. Like, people come into my world and they want everything for free and then they never pay me. And I'm like, I'm not in business not to get paid. Sorry. Right. Like, I've spent a lot of, like you, time, money, and energy, and I continue to hone my craft. And it is a craft that you do. And so, they're like, what's your freebie? And I'm like, go watch my YouTube channel. Like,
to me, if we're a good fit.
Yeah. I mean, my quiz is still up there, so you can grab it for the moment. But eventually it's going to be, you know, pay to come into my world. And that's okay, because I don't need millions of people, right? That's not the business I want to build and be a part of. I like to know the people in my world, and I want us all to be talking from the same hymnal. So I think it's okay to say that. I think it's okay. I think we'll see less. And it doesn't mean it has to be, you know, $200 every time somebody comes to work with you to do a thing. But I do think that that, I was calling it like infotainment, goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And so can we get our edutainment, which is what a lot of, you know, like, how many webinars can I go to with them? Like, I'm burnt out on, I'm going to get some haters on this, like these giant summits and these giant bundles. Like, I think that goes away.
Yeah. And I mean, part of the AI information overload too. Okay. What I hope somebody listening to this, because it kind of all pulls in beautifully, but you talked about the emphasis of being like the guide by their side. And our service providers are already doing that. They're just not necessarily stepping up and claiming that role. And so I think if they can understand truly and deeply what they bring to the table, and how if the guru culture is dying and not everyone wants to work with a coach that doesn't help them with the how and actually do it, who's left? It's like everybody here listening to this podcast can step up in that role. And I hope they just like see that and hear that moment and inside, because we just talked about like no longer giving it away free and step up. If you are already doing that, own it. There's a huge gap, I think, in 2026 for everybody.
Yes. It's a bridge year, right? It's not like people are talking about it as a fresh start. Well, a baby's got to learn to crawl before it walks. And this is what we're learning to do. It's a whole new environment. But we need the person who's going to teach you how to walk and who's going to walk by your side. And so own it, you guys, like own your magic and don't be afraid, because when we stop, you know, when we think we're just one of many instead of that bright shining light that each of you are, then we dim our own light. Don't dim your light. Your light's needed now more than anything. You know, the more complicated, or it's not even complicated, it's just changing, it's ever evolving. But like I said, we've got data of what it might look like. So, you know, own your space in that, and, you know, hook arms with the right people for you. And don't be afraid to say no either to the wrong fit client, because that will diminish your authority if you're not standing in your value.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up authority, because that's really what this is in this moment. And when you are in a position where you're in a couple different businesses and you can say, hey, I have an idea, I see this working, I've experimented with that, and you start bringing that to the table, like that's that moment I'm looking for, where you own it. And there's ways to build that authority just in your day-to-day interactions with your clients or what you say on social. I mean, we are so powerful, and you are too. You're inside multiple businesses, seeing what works and seeing the trends and patterns, and now you need to use it. So I do have one other question just to flip it over about launching, but especially because I know our clients are like planning right now and they're probably coming to us. What mistakes are people making right now with launches, especially when it's like such an uncertain time? Because we want to avoid that.
It's two things. It's forcing when it doesn't feel right to force it. And, you know, I will constantly, you know, people will tell me I have to launch in this window. And I'll say, what's true about that? Like, do you really? Like, I can feel it from you that you don't want to do it. Yet you think you have to. And maybe financially they have to. But I think whenever we force, it becomes a harder sell. And then I think just not thinking outside of the box, not taking a step back and just trying to run the same playbook. This is not a same playbook. And we should know that. We've been in this marketing cycle for almost a year. We have a sense. So what did you learn in 2025 about your audience, about what worked and what didn't? The majority of that you can bring into the first half of 26 with the understanding that we have a more discerning buyer. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you have to convince them. It means you need to show them like what it looks like to be in your world. What can they expect? And be real, be you, because people's BS meter is off the freaking charts. It is, which is a great thing. Again, discerning buyer. So if you took that and you said, okay, I have a really discerning buyer, what do I need to do to help them make a decision? I always talk about sales, being in sales forever. I talk about it like making an invitation. And your job when you make an invitation is to help them make a decision. Is it a yes or is it a no? That's your job, period. Not to convince someone. And that's the era we're in. In the past, it was like, guru said, you do this. This is the right way. Go buy it. Push the button. That's gone. So how do you make an invitation? How do you show people what's going to be behind the curtain? And then how do you bring them to a decision? Not with just in your way, with your, you know, there's no one way, no right way right now. I think the biggest thing is honoring that more intuitive buyer. We have a friend and mentor who always says, I want you to make the best decision for yourself. But that should always be true. But in this market, it's trust that you will know if this is the right decision for you. I can give you any more data that you need. I'm happy to share XYZ. You know, we want transparency in this market too. So people who are going to try to rush through a launch or force all those old tactics are suffering, you know. So
I want to just like hit that up really quick. I know my audience is on to me right here, but the people who are masquerading online, who look successful, who are bragging about the million-dollar businesses, but it looks like they're successful. Like it's kind of like effing with us, but like I see numbers or I see a testimonial here or there. I see quantity of people helped and like it must be working. Or is it?
Or is it? I mean, or it did work because who knows how old that sales data is. That's what we don't know, right? Because back in 2020, when we were in a very different marketing cycle, you could sell a course on anything. Like courses sold like nobody's business. And if we go back and look at, you know, Amy Porterfield's trajectory, right? Where did she hit her stride was during that marketing cycle. So we hold on to those testimonials, those stories, those numbers. Doesn't mean they're yesterday's numbers. I mean, and I'm not calling anybody out, but I think that I know for a fact, knowing as many entrepreneurs as I do, that it was not an easy 24, 25 for people. Numbers weren't where they wanted them to be. So what does that tell you? Who bought from you and why? That's what we want to know. Like, are you doing the deep research? Kelsey Silver and I did a data research of Q1. I knew that was going to be a transition month to this new marketing cycle, January, February. And so we wanted to see what launch data, because so many people launch in Q1. And already the trend was coming. It was a small number of people who were in your world 30 days or less, or 45, I can't remember, that bought quickly, but it was a very small number. The rest had been in someone's world for could be a year, 18 months.
I see that in my world, yeah.
And we don't want to have that kind of patience, right? So how do you build a business that has that patience? You know, so that's harder for people who don't have that backbone of a strong business. Like, I know that this ecosystem, Success Planet ecosystem I'm building, also because I'm Mars, is going to be a 2-year project when all said and done. I know my clients that are Venus ruled. It's going to take 18 months for something to fully form. But we still need to make money now. So where is the low-hanging fruit? Where are the people in your world already who are ready to say yes? And are we talking to those people? And are we nurturing the people coming in a way that they want to stay and hang around?
That's making me feel really good about everything we're doing behind the scenes in my business. It's not sexy. It's really nerdy. I could probably Voxer you about it, but it's really segmentation. It's using a lot of surveys and forms and conditional fields to understand where exactly people are. And we are using a new tool called Segmetrics. It's like Funnelytics, but cheaper. And I'm just thinking of somebody who just bought, was like, Googled me through a blog, and then we can see everywhere she went and then bought this. And that's kind of a dominant quick buyer, but it absolutely supports the data of like this ecosystem. And she's like pinging around, looking at everything, checking out the podcast. And sometimes it's so frustrating with marketing and like with our clients, because our clients want the get rich quick and they don't understand that cycle. And it takes a long time to put it all together in a customer journey. And not only that, the customer can be slightly different and then go like a different way. So I think this enforces why they need us.
But that whole piece you're talking about is like, I'm thinking about that as I'm building this. Like, okay, where is the tagging, the segmentation? How can I personalize the journey? Because how do you build authority and trust? Personalization. Let's use the technology to do that thing, right? Let's build the heat maps in and let's do the non-sexy things behind the scenes so that when I send you that email, I can have some conditional copy in there that's talks to you, right? Yeah. And that takes longer. And that's what, you know, I'm going to build into this whole process. And part of me is like, I just want to be at the end of it. I want to do it, but I don't have enough data, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to build it slow. You know, that's the other piece right now. And your little Mars and Capricorn left this. Like this next 9 months, it's like that slow build. That slow burn doesn't mean you don't make money in the meantime, but imagine that you're just like building the super highway towards, you know, or this pathway towards what you want when people will open their wallets a little bit more, 27, hopefully a little more stability baked in. But what you do now matters for later. We got to start thinking long game. Our clients are thinking longer game. If I buy this now, I can't have that later, you know, or what can I have later? So what are you building with intention? Build it right, build it slow. But don't take that to mean I'm saying don't make money in the meantime. Where's the find the money now and build for the future? Because what you build now matters later. When it does, pace picks up, you know, like you have all this data on your clients. What a gift. Now you can hit the gas pedal on the right hard things.
I think that's the biggest value prop is like short term, what are we doing? Long term, what are we doing? And we can all bring that thinking to the table. Oh my gosh, Sherry, this is so great. And you have done a good job with this personalized lead magnet report with our Success Planet. So we'll put the link in the show notes. Where's the best place to connect with you?
So YouTube, I try to stay pretty consistent there so you can kind of see what's going on. LinkedIn, and then I'll repost things on Instagram. Not my favorite platform, but that's another thing. Like do the platforms that you like. So, but I just try to stay visible. Just it's that calling card, right? Like if people Google me, they won't be able to find me. But yeah, if you want to know what I'm up to and like what I'm talking about and in any of my spicy Sherry moments, I'm going to start my spicy Sherry series over on YouTube.
Oh, goody.
I've moved into my spicy Sherry era and in the phase of life where I'm like, F it. Right? Like, I'm just going to say the thing.
And I think that's what 2026 is calling for too. So we don't all come across like same, same. Right?
I'm not a same, same astrologer. Like, that's not what I do. Like, I work really hard to, you know, study and learn like all of you. And so you bring your magic and be spicy in your own way or whatever that looks like for you. That's what's important.
Our friend Beth Nidick calls it like show your jersey.
Yeah.
All right. Cool, Shay. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Sherry and I would love to hear how this landed for you. Have you been planning 2026 with your clients? Do you feel a resistance and a change? Please DM us. Go follow us on Instagram. Talk to us about what you're saying. I'd love to know if your clients have already planned 2026 and how you're stepping into this role as a guide by their side. I think it's so important that we help our clients think through the strategy and really build a custom experience for them. We can't just offer the same blanket service to everyone. Our clients need extra from us, and they need us to be thinking about their business and what are the opportunities where we can create impact, where we can create sales and actually add to their business. Right now, if they're being more discerning, they're going to think twice about who's on their team and what that level of delivery is. So I think your key takeaway right now is to be thinking about the long-term key initiatives, the marketing projects, the big goals your clients are doing in 2026. Have that discussion, get them to admit what they want to get done and show some leadership and some ownership with this and help them get that done. This is how you're going to make yourself invaluable, indispensable. I think about the teammates who just keep doing the same repetitive work over and over that aren't really adding. Our clients are going to be more discerning about who's on their team and where they're spending their time. And as Sherry said, it's a trade-off. So show them what the trade-off is with working with you. All right, the workgroup is open for applications. If you are working on your own visibility, your own marketing, your own authority, you need to get your application in. We're having some amazing trainings in Q1 and Q2, including persuasion copywriting tactics with Rob Marsh. We are talking with Judy Fox about LinkedIn marketing for ourselves. And Stacey Brass Russell is coming in to talk about your signature framework, because this is such a big selling mechanism that you have your IP and your method for doing the work. And that helps you stand out. That's your differentiator. And that's how you build authority. And it gives you pillars for all of your marketing. So make sure you are in the workgroup. If you're a marketing service provider, whether you're an assistant, a specialist, or a manager, you need to be in there. And if you need to brush up on your marketing services and skills and set up your business, I have a marketing assistant school that can help you with all of this. It's self-paced. It's called the Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School. Go check it out, because 2026 could be your year. One of our workgroup managers just booked a $3,200 marketing project from our directory. She went through the school, she learned marketing services and how to offer them as an independent contractor, as a freelancer, and now she's doing the work and finding and booking clients through our workgroup. That is the goal. No shame if you need to start there. You can always DM me on Instagram and ask what I think is the best place for you to go. Depending on where you're at, I'll answer. And it's always about what Sherry said, the best decision for you. So I'm here for you. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Leave me a 5-star review and let's kick off the new year with some stars. I'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Freelancer. If you're ready to connect with other marketing freelancers, learn advanced strategies, and take your business to the next level, check out our Digital Marketers Workgroup. It's my exclusive membership where you'll find the support, community, and tools to land premium clients and grow your income. Visit marketersworkgroup.com to learn more, or just use the link in the show notes. Apply today. Step into your power, own your expertise, and command the rates your work deserves. See you next time on The Marketing Freelancer. Unicorns unite.